It is good to be here and to share with you something of what the Lord is doing in the Bethel Children's Crusade. Our last box opening was on the 3rd of March, and I was in the process of making plans for the end of term activities. And little did we know how things were going to change in just a few short weeks. It's hard to believe how quickly things changed. The children's meetings, the Bible clubs all stopped. Everything in our country seemed to stop. Everything in the world changed as well. But isn't it wonderful to know that in these days when things change, that the Lord says, I am the Lord, I change not. Bethel Children's Crusade has had to change its format of teaching. No longer can we meet with the children in our halls and in schools. We now are doing a postal Bible school. We're teaching the children through the post about God's word. There, 32 lessons were given out to all the families. And we have a core group who reply every couple of weeks. And when they send the reply in, we're able then to send the next lesson to them. What do we cover in the Bethel Children's Crusade Postal Bible Club? Well, there's a chorus for the children to sing. We use a chorus that they know or a tune that they know. And then we have our memory verse. We're currently working our way through Psalm 121. And after the memory verse, we go on to our Bible lesson. Our first series of lessons were based on children in the Bible who found themselves in strange and sometimes difficult situations and how the Lord undertook for them. We're now going into the life of Elisha and seeing how God helped people when they were at the end of themselves, how God came along and met them at the point of their need. And hopefully when we finish Elisha, we will move on to And You Will Never Guess What Happened Next. And that will be our title for the next topic with the children. In each one of our lessons, we seek to teach God's word, but also to apply it to the hearts of the children. God's word is not just stories. It's teaching us about who God is. It's telling us how we should live our lives. It shows us that we can come to God with our needs and talk to him in prayer. God's word teaches us how to be a good citizen, obeying the laws of our land, that we should be kind to all who would be in contact with. It teaches us that we can claim the promises of God. God's word tells us that it is a comfort for our souls. And it also can give us peace and joy. The Bible shows us that sometimes we do wrong. And God's word makes it clear how we should repent of that sin and seek to walk in a way that pleases him. The Bible has much to teach us and much to teach our children. It's very much like a treasure chest full of varied and glorious gems. But now we don't teach all of these doctrines and truths at one time to the children. We just do it a bit at a time. As Dr. Cook used to say in homiletics, don't put the whole loaf down at one go. Do it slice by slice. And that's what we seek to do with the children. We seek to teach bit by bit what God's word says and how it is applicable to their lives. Would you please remember our children in prayer? Many of them are facing problems and issues which are hard for them to understand. They're missing their friends. They're missing playing with their friends. They're missing seeing their friends and talking with them face to face. And they miss school. But I would say that most of them don't miss doing the tests and exams. But the fact that they're not there with their friends is very hard for many of our children. Some of them are finding it difficult to understand about the COVID-19. They're told by their parents, don't be going near a busy road, it's dangerous. They can see a road is busy, they can see it's dangerous. But concerning the COVID-19, they can't see it. They don't know where it's coming from. They don't know if it's coming near them. And so children are becoming, in many ways, very stressed concerning this. And so I would ask you to pray for our children that they would know peace in their hearts, and that their parents, that God would bless them and help them also. Please pray for our Postal Bible Club, that God will use it to his glory in the lives of our children. Pray for more children to respond to the lessons that were sent out and send them back to us. Pray for even new children to get involved. And if you know any parent that you think that their children would be interested in doing it, please feel free to chat with that mum and dad, and then contact me and I can send out the relative information concerning that. All our lessons are addressed to the parents, and then they pass it on to their children. Parents have been saying how much their children have been enjoying the Postal Bible Club, and that's really encouraging to me. Some have said that their children are doing their own meetings, singing their choruses, doing their memory verse, and even telling the Bible story. Now, those would be some meetings that I would like to go along to. I've been encouraged by the worksheets that the children send back to us. We have 4 pages of worksheets for the children. They would be A5 in size. There'll be a colouring page where they colour in the memory verse for that day. Then there'll be fill in the missing words, and that's from the previous week's memory verses. There'll be a picture that they have to draw. And then there's a puzzle page. And some of them can be quite difficult, but I have been amazed at how well that the children have done in that. And then they have questions to answer concerning the lessons in the Bible story that they've just read. Please pray that God will use the Bethel Children's Crusade Postal Bible Club to the glory of his name. Pray for those that proofread the lessons for me. Pray for me that I will know the right application to meet the needs of the children who will be reading and going through the lesson. Pray that the Lord would give us the right lessons, even to deal with amongst the children. Pray also for us as we prepare for the next term of meetings. Now, I already have worked out roughly the lesson titles of what we're going to cover in term one, but we still need to work on the memory verses. We still need to get all the pictures together for those lessons. We need to get the theme choruses together and all the extra little activities that need to go into the meeting. Will you please pray concerning that? I have no idea what we'll do in term two or term three, and so I would really value your prayers concerning that. Pray that the Lord will use Bethel Children's Crusade as he has in the past, may continue to do it in the future. Bethel Children's Crusade needs and values the prayers of God's people. I don't mind doing the preparation, but I need you at home to hold the ropes for the work. And as Paul said many, many years ago, he says there in 2 Thessalonians 3:1, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified." Thank you.
Well, we'd like to thank our sister for that report and update in the work of Bethel Children's Crusade. As you hear there from the report, there's been changes due to the situation with the virus over this last number of months. But God does not change. His word does not change. His word is not bound. His word is still going out. And we pray much that God will bless this ministry. Faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. And that the Lord will richly bless her sister, give her great wisdom and guidance, even regarding the term that lies ahead. And again, we want to thank all who do do pray for this work and support it in any way. And that is deeply appreciated, I know, by our sister and by the oversight here of the congregation. Now, I just want to read one verse of Scripture with you tonight. It's found in Ephesians chapter 6, and it is the verse number 18. I'm just going to read that one verse with you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. I encourage you to look up that passage in your own Bible in the home. Look up the verses with us and pray that God will bless His word to hearts this evening. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, in the latter half of Ephesians chapter 6, Paul here is dealing with the Christian's armor. That armor has been provided by the Lord to help His people overcome the attacks of the evil one. In verse 11 of the chapter, it says, "There, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." And after dealing with the Christian armor and the life of the believer, Paul then goes on to show the importance of prayer. Really, he's saying here that the Christian armor must be put on with prayer. As the hymn writer says, put on the gospel armor with prayer. You see, without prayer, the child of God will not be protected from the wiles of the devil as he or she should. And the importance of prayer for God's people is underlined here in this verse 18, where it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Child of God, if you and I are to fight the good fight of faith, then it is vital that we heed the counsel of this verse, emphasizing the importance of prayer. The hymn writer says, Christians, seek not yet repose. Cast thy dreams of ease away. Thou art in the midst of foes. A watch and pray. So we would look just briefly at this verse this evening, which highlights the importance of prayer. There are a number of things I want you just to notice from the verse. Notice first of all here the matter of diversity in prayer. Verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Notice those words there, with all prayer and supplication. This word prayer there really refers to general requests and prayer. The word supplication there refers to specific requests and prayer. And here you see the diversity that there is in the matter of prayer and seeking God. As believers in Christ, you and I, yes, we are to make general requests before the Lord in the place of prayer. But also we are to make specific requests regarding our needs, regarding our circumstances, be they personal or be those that concern the work of God. Yes, these words here would remind us that as Christians we can pray in whatever situation we find ourselves to be in. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 in the verse 8, Paul says there, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." Indeed, the hymn writer says, "Jesus, where'er thy people meet, there they behold thy mercy seat. Where they seek thee, thou art found. Every place is hallowed ground." Child of God, whenever you think of this matter of diversity in prayer, be encouraged tonight. You can pray publicly, yes, in a prayer meeting. But you also can pray silently in the crowd or even in your workplace. This is how it was with Nehemiah. In Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4, we read of Nehemiah in his employment, in the midst of his daily activity, and he says, "So I prayed to the God of heaven." You can also pray at home with your family, with your loved ones. You can pray on the bed of sickness. You can pray when you're alone in your own bedroom or somewhere else. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, Christ says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." And there Christ speaks of secret prayer in the life of the Christian.
Yes, these words, prayer and supplication, show, yes, that there can be great diversity in the prayer life of the believer. But then notice, secondly here from this verse, notice the season for prayer. Verse 18 of Ephesians 6 there says, praying always with all prayer. Notice those words there, praying always. And this really means the believer maintaining a continual spirit of prayer in their life. Indeed, this was the case of the early New Testament church. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in prayers. Now, can I say this does not mean that we are to pray in a ritual fashion every hour of the day. It doesn't mean that. Rather, it means that the flame of prayer, if you like, the burden of prayer is to be continually burning in our hearts. It means a life of communion with God. Highlighting this matter, a famous preacher of a bygone day said, prayer is not something I do, it is something I am. In other words, his life was one of a daily habitual communion with God. And that is what it means for you and I to be praying always, to be in fellowship with the Lord, seeking him day by day in our lives. Colossians chapter 3 in the verse 2, it says there, set your affections on things above. Our affections and hearts are to be fixed upon the Lord. And when it comes to the matter of prayer in our daily life, this means that when we are tempted, we can ask the Lord for help to overcome. It means when we face difficult situations, we can ask the Lord to make a way for us. It means whenever we encounter trouble, we can turn to the Lord for deliverance. This is how it was with the psalmist. In Psalm 31, verse 15, he prayed, deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Also, whenever we need wisdom, we can ask the Lord for guidance. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, it says there, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Yes, we see the season for prayer. But notice something else here from our verse. Notice our helper in prayer. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Notice those three words, in the Spirit. This does not mean speaking in tongues, as is taught by the charismatic movement. No, to pray in the Spirit means a realization that we have no power in our flesh to pray. That means a realization of our own weakness in prayer, just like that was with the disciples when they came to the Lord in Luke 11, verse 1, and said, Lord, teach us to pray. They realized their weakness in prayer. It means that whenever we pray, we seek the aid, the help of God, the Holy Spirit. And in his word, the Lord, yes, has promised help in prayer by and through the Holy Spirit. Think of what is said in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says there, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Also to pray in the Spirit means praying in God's will. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Yes, it also means you and I avoiding that which grieves the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 4, verse 30, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. It also means us seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit in our lives. Luke chapter 11, verse 13, Christ there is speaking to his disciples. And he says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Yes, by the help of the Holy Spirit, you and I, yes, we can pray in the Spirit. Yes, we see our helper in prayer. The Holy Ghost helps us and comes alongside in the place of prayer. But notice in the fourth place here from our verse, notice the manner of our praying. It says they're praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. Notice those words there. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication. Here we see how the Christian is to pray with vigilance. And indeed with perseverance. And Christ himself highlighted this matter of vigilance and prayer in Matthew's Gospel 26 verse 41 when he said to his own, watch and pray. He also highlighted the importance of perseverance in prayer in Luke 18 verse 1 when he said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Child of God, the manner of our praying is to be one of continuance in prayer. In Colossians 4 verse 2 it says, there continue in prayer. In other words, having begun to pray, we are to continue to pray. Then we are to be vigilant in prayer. 1 Peter 4 verse 7 says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. As believers, we are to watch out, yes, for opportunities to pray. Also, as believers, we are to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading to pray. And believer, whenever you feel burdened by the Spirit of God to pray about that matter, then seek the Lord about that matter. Don't turn away from the Lord, but seek His face and bring that matter to the Lord. Also, this vigilance this means you and I avoiding that which would hinder us in our prayer life. You think of the words of Peter, writing to the Lord's people in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. He's speaking there to the husband and the wife. And he says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And there Peter is really telling the husband and the wife to maintain a right relationship with each other in their marriage, lest their prayer life be hindered and impeded. There's a lesson there, not just for husbands and wives, but indeed a lesson there is there for all God's people. Likewise, child of God, you and I must always maintain a good relationship with others, lest our prayers be hindered and impeded. How important that is. Then notice one final thing here just from this verse. Notice the subjects of our praying. It says they're praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Notice those final words there, for all saints. In other parts of the Bible, God's people are commanded to pray, yes, for unbelievers. They're commanded to pray for rulers, for those that are in authority. They're commanded to pray, yes, for their land, for their nation. But here they are told to pray specifically for God's people, for the saints of the Lord Jesus Christ. Child of God, this is your responsibility and my responsibility. James 5 verse 16 says, pray one for another. You think of Samuel, the prophet of old. He realized this was something he must do. For in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, he's addressing the Lord's ancient people, and this is what he says to them. He says, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. He realized it was his responsibility to pray for God's ancient people at that time. This was something that the Apostle Paul himself often engaged in. Turn with me in your Bible, please, over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3. And the verses 11, 12, and 13. And just look at what Paul says there about his prayer for the believers at Thessalonica. He says, now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. And there you have Paul, and he's praying that the love for one another amongst these believers would be increased. And he's praying for them that they would be established more and more in the ways of God and in the way of holiness. Child of God, this is something that you and I also can pray for with regard to our fellow believers in the Lord. We can pray, yes, that our love one for another amongst God's people be increased. We can pray for that establishing more and more in the ways of God. And dear child of God, in praying for your fellow believer, you'll be following the best example, indeed, the greatest example of all, that of your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What does the Bible say about the Lord Jesus Christ as our great high priest? In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says, of Christ he ever liveth to make intercession for them. In other words, he's continually praying for his people. Believer, and praying for your fellow believer in Christ, that brother and sister in Christ that you know, you're following the example of Christ, the best, the greatest example of all. William Carey is known as the father of the modern missionary movement. Before his missionary endeavors, he was a shoemaker, a cobbler by profession. On one occasion, he was reproached for spending too much time in prayer to supposedly the detriment of his business. And he replied to that reproach by saying that supplication, thanksgiving, and intercession were much more important in his life than the laying up of treasures on earth. He went on to say, prayer is my real business in life. Cobbling shoes is just a sideline that helps pay my expenses. And child of God, as prayer was the chief business for William Carey, may it also be the chief business in your life and indeed in my life for the glory of God. Our verse here says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. May that be the testimony, child of God, of your life day by day. Praying always with all prayer and supplication, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, as God the Holy Spirit would equip you and enable you to lay hold upon God and seek his face in prayer. Indeed, if you're listening in tonight online, still unsaved, let me say the way for you to fight the good fight of faith, indeed to be able to pray for others, is that you first of all be saved. And the way of salvation is by you praying in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing your sins to him, asking him to forgive your sins, asking him to save your soul and blot out your sins through the blood that he shed upon the cross. This is how it was with the old publican in Luke chapter 18. But he cried out, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Unsaved friend, follow his example. Call upon the Lord for salvation. Lord will save you for time and for eternity. And the Lord will bless you and use you for his honor and for his glory. Thank you for listening in this evening. I pray that God will bless his word to all our hearts, as the Lord alone would see our particular needs.